Look with me at Psalm 119. We can't read the entire chapter. We'd be here all morning just reading Psalm 119. I don't know if I could read it. I guess I could read it in, well, it'd take several minutes, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd take 20, 30 minutes to read it probably. But and we'd have to stop and shout and get happy along the way, so it'd take longer. But I've got just about four verses here out of Psalm 119 that I want us to look at this morning. Psalm 119, verse 49, he says, "Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Look at verse 105 of Psalm 119. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Look at verse 130 of Psalm 119. "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And then verse 173, "Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts." And then out of the Message, that verse says, "Put your hand out and steady me, since I've chosen to live by your counsel." The entire chapter, in the entire Psalm, 119th Psalm, is about the power of God's Word, and about what God's Word can do and will do in our lives when we believe it and when we accept it. He says, "Your Word," he says, "upon which," he said, "remember the Word upon which you've caused me to hope." Your Word brought hope to me. Yeah. Amen. Has anybody ever experienced that the Word of God brought hope to you? Yeah. Praise God. And he says, "Your Word has given me life." Yeah. Amen. "Your word's a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." You ever been confused and not knowing what to do, and the Word of God came to you and it brought light to your path? Amen. Amen. And he says, "Let your hand become my help, for I've chosen your precepts." And that's talking about his Word. When we choose the Word of God, then the hand of God becomes our help. How many of you know it's a good thing to have the hand of God helping you? Glory to God. Well, the hand of God came on Elijah, and he outran the king's chariot. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In Isaiah, it says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" The arm of the Lord represents the power of God. In fact, Jesus said, "I cast out demons by the finger of God." Amen. If the finger of God has enough power in it to cast out a demon, think about what the hand of God can do. Your hand has been my help because I've chosen to live by your counsel. Hallelujah. And if the hand of God can, just think about what the arm of the Lord can do. Amen. Well, his arm can be revealed and is revealed to us when we believe his report. It says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" That's in Isaiah. Well, the arm of the Lord is revealed to those who believe his report. Amen. Glory to God. And so the title of my message today is, "One Word from God Can Change Your Life." One word from God can change your life. And I'm borrowing that from, I guess Brother Copeland is the first one that came out with that statement, but I like it. I've always liked that. One word from God can change your life. Now, we're not saying you should be satisfied with one word. But what we are saying is there's enough power in one word from God revealed to you, spoken to your heart, if you'll receive it, that it can change the course of your life. Amen? Amen. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're going through today, God has a word for you that can change your circumstance, that can totally turn it around. Hallelujah. I'm convinced of that. And he's waiting on us to believe his word. He's waiting on us to trust him to perform that word in our lives. In fact, he does that in Jeremiah. It talks about that in Jeremiah 1 and verse 12. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." So when God gives you a word and you latch on to it, the next move is his. He says, "All right, I'm going to perform that in your life. Since you've chosen to believe it, then I'm going to perform it in your life." Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. The English Standard Version says it this way, "Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." I like that. God is watching over his word to perform it in our lives. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, so I want to talk to you about this, about about receiving a word from God, about God speaking a word into your life and into your heart that can change your life. One word from God can change your life, can turn your situation totally around. It can, amen? Glory to God. But there's some important guidelines that we need to go over here as we get into this. God can speak to you by His Spirit and give you a word that's not directly from the Scripture that may pertain to your situation. He can do that. He can speak a word to your heart by His Spirit and give you a word that's not directly chapter and verse, you know, but it pertains to your situation. Now, that word can come directly to you by the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit, or it can come through another person. But in both cases, listen to me carefully here, in both cases it should be judged by the standard of the written Word of God. Any word that or what you perceive to be a word from God about your life or your situation, always measure it by the written Word. If it's not a word directly from the Scripture, and even if it is a Scripture, make sure that it's not just taken out of context. You know, somebody said you can take a verse here and a verse there out of the Bible and prove anything. You know, the Bible says Judas went out and hanged himself. Another verse says, go thou and do likewise. Well, you don't want to follow that counsel, do you? Amen? No. So make sure it's consistent, and especially a word that you perceive, that you hear in your spirit, or a word that someone brings to you. And we believe in that. We believe that God can do that. But make sure that you judge it by the standard of the written Word of God. If it is from God, it will be consistent with and not contrary to His written Word.
Amen.
Amen. And here's another guideline. If it comes through another person, it should also witness with your heart. And it should also confirm what God has already been dealing with you about. Amen. If it doesn't seem to fit, then just put it to the side. It may make sense later, or it might not. It might not be for you. You know, we can miss it. You know, if I or someone else supposedly gives you a word from God, and it doesn't, it says, you're thinking, well, that doesn't seem to fit my situation at all. Well, just set it to the side. You know, in time it may fit, or in time you may see, well, no, that just doesn't apply to me. But it ought to confirm, or it ought to witness with what's in your own heart already.
Amen.
Amen. Now, here's what I want to get to today. God can also speak to you specifically from His written Word.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He can speak to you specifically from His written Word. And I think this is the predominant way, at least it's what I've found in my life, the predominant way that He speaks to me, that He gives me direction, that He gives me words to give me hope and encouragement. Amen. Speaking to us directly from His written Word. Now, I want to talk to you, give you some examples about how God has done that in my life and in my family, and just to help you to understand how He can do it in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And to cause you to raise your expectation for God to speak to you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Back in 2006, I'll start back there. Will and Aaron, they had moved at the beginning of the year. They'd moved to Australia to attend Hillsong College. You'd gone to college a year here, and you'd done a year at North Georgia before going out there. And of course, you know, you want to try to help your kids get through college. And so we wanted to try to help Will and Aaron as much as we could. And that was at the beginning of 06. In May of 06, our second son, Jeremy, was graduating from high school and beginning college in the fall, and he was planning on going to Yale University, not the most bargain basement college in the nation, certainly. And we had not, so I started thinking, how are we going to pay for this? Because we didn't have a lot of money saved for their college. We'd chosen when they were young and starting school, we'd chosen to put them in Christian school. And how many of you know you have to pay for that? You know, that's not subsidized by the government. And so we were paying for their schooling all through their elementary years. And we were, you know, getting the church started and pastoring the church. So we were just not in a position to lay aside a lot of money for their college at that time. And so What we did have, though, we'd been blessed with through the generosity of the congregation, and you guys had banded together and helped us build a house. And so we had a lot of equity in the house at that time. And so I had an idea. We'll sell our home. We'll buy a house. You know, there are all kinds of nice houses and subdivisions around in our area. We can buy still a nice house, but a less expensive house. We had our house sits on 7 acres of land, and so we don't need that much property. We can downsize a little bit. We've got, you know, Will's married now. Jeremy's going to college. We can downsize a little bit, buy a smaller house. This is a great idea. We will sell our house. We'll cash in that equity, and that'll be the money to help get them through college. And how many of you know what happened in the summer of 2006 when we put our house on the market with the housing market? Well, it really started to bottom out, didn't it? And so we tried for, kept our house on the market for about a year. We didn't have any real serious offers or anything that we felt, you know, that would help us do what we wanted to do with that. But in the fall, so about 13, 14 months after we had made that decision to sell the house, in the fall of 2007, God gave me a word that changed my life regarding this situation. I want to share it with you. It's Genesis 47. You may have heard me share it before. I've shared it at different times, but I was just reading my Bible. I wasn't particularly praying about this matter, although I, you know, kind of tried to keep my heart open to direction from God. Lord, what do you want us to do? Do you know, is this of you? But I really wasn't praying about it. I just minded my own business, reading my Bible that day, and came across this scripture, Genesis 47. It's the story of Joseph. You know, he'd been sold into slavery by his brothers into Egypt, and, you know, then he had been raised up. God raised him up, put him second in command in Egypt. You know, he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and Pharaoh promoted him. And so Joseph is administrating and leading Egypt through this time of famine. And in Genesis 47, verse 20, I was reading this that day, it says, Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For every man of the Egyptians sold his field because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priest he did not buy, for the priest had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their lands. I read that day, and the Spirit of God just made that come alive on the inside of me. In that moment, I knew you don't have to sell your house. The priest, I'm not a priest, I don't use the term entitled priest, but I knew God spoke to me through that. He said, the priest did not sell their lands. And I sensed the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart and saying, now you can sell your house if you want to, but you don't have to. Amen. You don't have to. Well, that was it. I mean, I went out and marched out at the end of the driveway, pulled the sign out. You know, we didn't have it listed with an agent at that time. We're just, you know, doing it ourselves. That we had used agents up until that time, but we were currently didn't have it listed with an agent. Pulled the sign up out of the yard, you know, went in and told Robin, we're not going to sell the house. She said, thank God. I didn't ever want to do it anyway. I said, I knew that's what was holding this up. The kids were happy. They didn't want to sell the house. They liked where we lived. I liked where we lived. And so that was our answer. But you know, our financial circumstances had not changed at that moment. But you know, God was faithful. Amen. Jeremy, which I'll share more about him in a minute, but we got him through school. Will and Aaron got through. We were able to help them a little bit. They did a lot of it themselves. They were able to get through school. Jeremy's through school. My responsibility for his schooling is paid for. Amen. Covered. He's still got a little bit of debt. Not a whole lot, considering where he graduated from. But God saw us through. God provided. We didn't have to. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. That was a word from God that gave me direction, and it caused me to have faith that God would provide. Amen.
Amen.
Well, He'll do the same for you.
Yes.
Amen. Now, again, that word didn't come while I was specifically praying about it. I want you to understand that, just in the midst of my normal Bible reading. And that's why it's so important, folks. That's why it's so important that you read your Bible on a consistent basis, that you pray on a consistent basis. What if I had not read my Bible? Well, I would have missed that word. I would have missed that direction, from that important direction from God. Amen? He can give you direction. Amen? He can give you a word that'll change your life. That changed our life in that, you know, in that situation. Praise God. Amen? Now, I want to tell you, add something else here in this too. You don't know, if God leads you to, then do it. But you don't have to fast and pray for 3 days for God to speak to you. Now, again, you may be led to do that. Here's why I'm saying this, because some folks think, well, you know, I know that I need to seek God about this, but, you know, I'm just so busy and this going on. It just doesn't seem like I have time to set aside 3 days or a week. You know, we've got the kids and we've got work and this is going on and that, you know. If God leads you to do that, then do it. I'm not speaking against setting aside time just to fast and pray and seek God. We all should do more of that, I believe. But don't say that, well, if I can't do that, then I'll just forget about it and God can't speak to me. He can speak to you. Amen. Just give Him a little time. Just give Him what time you can and expect Him to speak to you. Amen. Now again, I didn't sit down that morning and say, God, please speak to me about the house. Now God can do that when you specifically ask Him, but most of the time, it's been my experience, most of the time it wasn't when I was specifically praying a prayer, God give me direction. Do I pray, God give me direction? Sure, in the course of my prayer and fellowship with God, I say, Lord, give me direction. I ask You for wisdom about this. But usually it comes at a time that I'm not expecting it. Just when I'm consistently just reading my Bible or praying or whatever, it doesn't always. Sometimes he'll quicken a scripture to me when I'm just driving down the road. Remember that scripture? I'll say, yeah, and then I'll go and look it up later. So He can speak to you. Just keep your heart open. Amen. Amen. But He wants to give you words to change your life. He wants to give you words to as it says here in the Message Bible. Put your hand out and steady me. Oh, I like that. Put your hand out and steady me. Glory to God. He wants to give you a word that will steady you. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. And God, just moving forward, and this is kind of connected to that last one, but God really gave us in 2009 with situation, really a word of hope in a time of trouble. You know, God can give you, that was concerning our finances. But you know, we all face times of trouble, don't we? Amen. And God can give you a word of hope in time of trouble, a word to steady you. And as some of you know, if you've been around here for a while, some of you that are new, you might not know about this, but we really encountered a challenge in our family back in 2009. It started sooner than that. But in the fall of 2009, our son Jeremy had to withdraw from college. He was in his, he started his senior year, his last year at Yale University. And we were contacted by the school and said, you need to come up here. We've got a situation with your son. He's not in a good place. He's not doing well. And so we went up to the campus to pick him up. He had found out that we knew, we suspected some things, but then it was much worse than we actually suspected, that he had substance abuse problems. He had been abusing drugs and alcohol. This was a very difficult time for us. And we came back, I know, after that time, we shared it. We thought, well, should we share it with the congregation? And we did share it with you guys, and y'all were so supportive and continue to pray for us regarding this, and we appreciate that. And God has done some wonderful things. And in the midst of this, God was faithful to give us many wonderful words from His Word for us to stand on, to give us hope, and to give us words to release our faith. Praise God. And God wants to do the same for you. The reason I share this is to let you know that God wants to do the same for you. He has a word for you that will give you hope in a difficult time. Praise God. And you know, the thoughts in situations like that, you know, you're bombarded with thoughts from the devil. You know, if you'd been a better parent, if you'd done a better job raising him, you know, if you'd provided better oversight and guidance, you know, you should never let him go to college there. And, you know, all these thoughts come. But God is not the one condemning you during this. God is ready. God wants to give you hope.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. He's the God of hope. Romans 15:13. Let's look at that. Romans 15:13. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God wants to speak a word to your heart that will give you hope. Whatever situation that you're facing, hallelujah. And He wants to give a word to you that will keep you in a place of believing. Amen? Because when you believe God, His arm is revealed. His hand is upon you. His power can work and change that situation that's gone wrong. Amen? Hallelujah. And God gave us many words during this time. In fact, I keep this page, this in my Bible. These are some of the words that God gave us during this time, as this time began. And I keep them in my Bible. I pray over them, speak them yet today, over these past 4 years. But here's probably the most significant one. And it's interesting that he spoke this to my heart, and then Rob and I compared notes a little bit later, and she said, "Yeah, the Lord spoke that scripture to me too," separately. Amen? Yeah. This is Jeremiah 24:6-7. And I'm going to read it out of the New International Version. Here's the word that God gave to us for our son in this time of trouble. Listen to this. "My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart." What a wonderful, I can't hardly read it without weeping, is seeing how God gave us that, spoke that word to our hearts and said, "You can have this. You can stand on this. You can believe this. This is what I want to do." And you know, we've seen God do this. We've seen Him perform it. He says, "My eyes will watch over them for their good." Oh, God has done that. Our son could have died on a couple of occasions, and God was watching over him. God delivered him, watched over him for His good. Hallelujah. And He said, "I'll bring them back to this land." He's living at 8045 Jotham Down Road right now. No, that's not permanent, I hope. Amen. But God brought him back to this land. That was close, you know. That was a close. You said, "Well, of course he can't." Well, no, that wasn't a foregone conclusion. But God brought him back to this land. And that's a twofold. God's spoken to my heart. That's twofold. It's natural. He's done it physically. But He's bringing him back to this land spiritually too as well. Amen. He said, "I'll build them up and not tear them down. I'll plant them and not uproot them." Hallelujah. And see, what God spoke to me about this too is this is a step-by-step process. And it's still in process. When I know it was just this last summer after Jeremy graduated. And thank God, you know, he started his senior year in 2009, September of 2009. He finally graduated in May of 2012. So it took a while. And there's a whole long story there of all that took place. And there's within a 10-month period, I think I made 11 trips to New Haven, Connecticut and back. Seven trips in a 10-month period, I think it was, with all kinds of things that were going on. But we've seen God be faithful. Amen? That's the point. And He gave us this word. But I know just last year, I know one Sunday we were sitting in Giorgio's restaurant eating lunch, and some things were opening up for Jeremy, a good step that he was taking. And I said, I looked at Rob and I said, this is Jeremiah 24. God's doing this. I'll build them up. I'll build them up and not tear them down. That's what He's doing right now. This is that step in that phase. I'll build them up. She said, "Yeah, the Lord spoke that to me too." Praise God. And so it's a process here. I'll plant them and not uproot them. I'll give them a heart to know me. Pastor, is he serving the Lord? Well, not like he should be right now, but he's going to, because God said, "I'll give them a heart." I'll give them a heart to know me. They'll be my people. I'll be their God. They will return to me with all their heart. He's going to do that. He's returning to God with all his heart. Amen. Hallelujah. And so again, he graduated. He's home. He's walking free from substance abuse now. He's working. He's got a good job, and he's working. And so we're seeing step by step God perform this word. He said, I'll watch over my word to perform it. He gives us a word, and when we hold on to it, we'll see God perform it in our lives. Amen? He will do the same for you. Hallelujah. And then I got to thinking about, this is sometime later, probably maybe about a year ago, the Lord gave me this word. Just thinking about all that money that we spent, all those trips that I had to make, you know, up to Connecticut. And when, you know, even after Jeremy got back in, you know, it looked like he wasn't going to be able to finish and make it. And just the different trips we needed to make, and it took in the 3 years, instead of finishing his senior year in 1 year, it took three, and all the extra expense there. And I'm thinking about, oh man, this money, you know, and you know, just different expenses that we'd had through all this. You know, God gave me a word about that, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, I should have just had him, you know, again, you never should have let him go up there. Should have gone to a junior college here. Well, that was his heart. That was his, you know, and I believe God's got a plan for all that yet. I believe he was supposed to go. But he gave me a word. I was just reading my Bible, 2 Chronicles 25. Now, I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember if I was just reading or if God, I think maybe God spoke this to me and then I went and looked it up. I think he reminded me that the scripture was there. And so it took me a little bit to find it. But it's 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 9. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? Well, I felt like that. I've given 100 talents. You know, that's a lot. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Glory to God. I'm not worried about that. I'm not going to entertain thoughts of, well, that you wasted this or, you know, that was spent. The Lord is able to give much more than that. I believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it. Amen. And he's going to bring that to pass. Praise God. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. Enough about me. But I wanted to share that to show you how God does these things and to let you know he'll do it for you too. Amen. But look at Isaiah chapter 38. This is about, I thought about as I was pondering this message about King Hezekiah and about how a word came to King Hezekiah. Praise God. And it was a word that changed his life. And it actually was not a word that he wanted to hear to begin with. In Isaiah 38 verse 1, it says, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. How many want to get that word? Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Now, if you read about it in 2 Kings, it was before Isaiah had even gotten out of the courtyard of the palace. Hezekiah, when he got that word, I mean, he didn't waste any time. He didn't sit around thinking, well, I guess I'll just die. I mean, it must be God's will. I mean, God even said, you're going to die. But Hezekiah said, you know, I know something about God. I know that He's merciful.
Amen.
I know that He's good. I've seen His goodness. I know His nature, that He's a good God. And he turned his face to the wall, and he pled his case before God. And he wept. And before Isaiah could even get out of the courtyard, the Lord said, turn around. Go back and tell King Hezekiah something. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, verse 4, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. Here's a word for somebody right now if you'll receive it. This is it right here. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I don't know if that exact part is right, but this is for somebody today. I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. Hallelujah. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Well, a word of judgment had come to King Hezekiah. Set your house in order. Set your house in order, for you shall not live, but you shall die. Well, Hezekiah received that word and responded to it based on what he knew about the mercy and compassion of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And just think about how, and I believe God gave him that word because what God had in his mind was, I want to add 15 years to his life. I want to heal him. I want to deliver him. But he had to start this process by giving him this word to motivate Hezekiah to seek him and to call out for that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So God can turn that word of judgment. That's why judgment is even a blessing. That's why judgment is even a good thing, because God has our best interest at heart. Amen. Even a word of judgment is to cause us to take note and to turn and to seek God. Amen. That's why it can be a positive thing in our lives. Amen. And this word of hope and promise came because Hezekiah was quick. Think about how quick he was to turn to God and pray. Isaiah didn't even make it out of the courtyard. Praise God. I thought about the Apostle Paul and a word that God gave to him in Acts chapter 27. You know, Paul was being transported to Rome. They put him on this ship. He was on there with other prisoners. He had soldiers guarding him, and they had a charge to bring him to Rome. He had appealed to Caesar. And so he's on his way to Rome. And before they took off from the last port they were at, Paul's the weather was starting to change, and they were trying to decide whether to go or not. And Paul, the Spirit of God spoke to Paul, He just picked it up in his spirit. He said, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and damage. and so he tried to talk them out of going. But they said, no, you shut up. You're a crazy Pentecostal preacher. You don't know anything about sailing. Leave that to us. And so they took off, and sure enough, they got into this storm. Like it'd be like a hurricane, what we would know as a hurricane. They were in the middle of that for about 2 weeks. So he was in a storm. Listen to this. Paul was in a storm, not of his own making, but because of the wrong decisions of others. You may find yourself there today. And yet God spoke a word to him to give him peace in the midst of that storm. Look with me at this in Acts 27, verse 21. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. I told you so. So he did get that in. Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart. See, he didn't leave him with, I told you not to come. I told you we shouldn't have come. Now we're all going to die. No, thank God. God is the God of hope. Yes. Hallelujah. We shouldn't have done this. We made a bad decision. And yet now I encourage you, I urge you to take heart. Why? For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Oh, I love that statement, don't you? The God to whom I belong and the God whom I serve. Saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Oh, I love that. It's one of my favorite statements in the Bible, too. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. God wants to give you a word to hold you steady, to change your life, Hallelujah. And then He wants you and I to have that same spirit of faith that Paul had and say, I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. I believe God on those things that I shared with you about my life and situation personally. I want you to know today that I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. And you can do the same thing. You can, as God gives you a word and quickens a word to your heart, you take it and you say, I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought about Peter in Luke chapter 5. Look with me in Luke chapter 5 and verse 3. In Luke chapter 5, verse 3, it's talking about Jesus. It said, then he, being Jesus, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. This is when Jesus was first beginning his ministry. It's before he had called his 12 disciples. Simon, at that time named Simon. Simon, this is Simon Peter. He's not yet a disciple of Jesus. But he's about to be. He's a fisherman. He's a professional fisherman. And he got into Simon's boat, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. In verse 4, when he had, and there's so much in this, we'll just focus on a couple things today. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. He gave him a word, didn't he? Jesus gave him a word. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now again, Peter could have said, you know, Jesus, that's nice. You know, why don't you stick to preaching and let me stick to fishing? I've been doing this all my life. My daddy trained me to do this. I'm a professional fisherman, you know. And it's nice you're running around here preaching and teaching in the synagogues and all that, but you better leave the fishing to me, please. He said, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Three things that I want you to see in this where there's a whole lot in here. I love this story. But the first one is this. The word Jesus spoke to Simon was contrary to both to the circumstances and to his experience. So when God gives you a word to change your life, to give you hope, to give you something to hold on to in faith, it may be contrary both to the circumstances and to your past experience. Well, it's never happened that way before. Well, you've not ever had that happen for you, or you've not ever done that, or, well, you know how these things always turn out. It may be contrary to your past experience and to the present circumstances. Hallelujah. I like what Peter did, what Simon did. He said, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Jesus, the word to Jesus was launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So they've been working all night. Jesus comes along and has an early morning teaching session. Peter's watched Simon as they're washing their nets. They're getting ready to go. He's hungry. He's ready to go home, eat breakfast, and go to bed. Because he's got to get up again in the evening and go out and do it again. So he's tired. You know, I'm sure he doesn't feel real spiritual or, you know, anything. But he made a good decision. Yes. He said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, glory to God. You need to learn to say nevertheless in your life. You need to learn to look at your circumstances and your situation when God gives you a word and say, it doesn't look like it. Nevertheless. Amen. Nevertheless. Hallelujah. There's a good side and a bad side to nevertheless. You know, the children of Israel, they had been given a word from God to go in and possess the land. The land is a good land. It flows with milk and honey. Go in and possess it. And so they sent the 12 spies into the land, and they came back and they said, you know, it's just like God said, it is a good land, it flows with milk and honey. Nevertheless, there's giants over there. We can't take that land. Man, that nevertheless turned them away from what God had said and into doubt and unbelief. This nevertheless turned Peter away from what the circumstances and his experience told him should be into a place of faith and the miraculous and the supernatural. Hallelujah. He said, nevertheless, I will. He chose to believe the word of Jesus above what experience and circumstances were telling him. And then he acted. Number three, then he acted on that word that Jesus spoke to him, and he received an amazing miracle. Hallelujah. And in this experience, Jesus was preparing Peter for something far greater. Amen? See what God, when God gives you a word to help you in your situation, it ends up spreading out and multiplying and causing other people to be blessed and helped as well. Amen. Amen. Has it encouraged you this morning, the words that I shared with you that God spoke to me? That's the way God does it. When Paul said, take heart, for I believe God that it shall be just as it was told me, he said, I'm not wringing my hands anymore. Let's eat. Glory to God. And he sat down and he gave thanks and he began to eat. And the Bible says that the rest of the people were encouraged and they took food too. Amen. The word that God spoke to Paul to encourage him, it encouraged other people. And here Peter, as Jesus speaks this word to Peter, and as Peter experiences this amazing miracle, this amazing supernatural intervention by Jesus, then Jesus comes back to him and says, in verse 10, the latter part of verse 10, and Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. One word from Jesus changed his life. One word from God can change your life. Amen. Amen. Don't give up. Amen. Be like Hezekiah. Don't accept defeat. Don't accept defeat. Amen. Let God reveal His word to you. Let that word bring you hope.